and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name is Paul Gardigan and I look after the mindfulness program here at Hope.
Hi, I'm George Warman. I am the staff supportee here at Hope.
So George, today we're going to talk about a topic that you obviously have a lot of experience with, is the 12-step sponsorship. So just to start us off, what is a sponsor?
A sponsor is somebody who has taken the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and takes another new person who's never done the step before and takes them through the steps and shows them how to do it.
Brilliant. And just so people get an idea of your background, am I allowed to ask, how many people have you sponsored over the years?
I'd say a good least, probably 20, 25. Wow. Not everyone has done, but quite a few of them are doing very well.
And is something that you find satisfying?
It's actually part of the 12 steps. It's the idea of carrying the message. And the idea is, how do you know what message you have unless you carry it and you see it be reproduced to other people?
So, you sort of said basically sort of, explaining. I mean, is there any other functions that a sponsor sort of does? Is it like a friend, a mentor?
Well, the AA pamphlet on the 12 sponsorship, there's a pamphlet that AA has put out. Question and answers on sponsorship. A lot of times you'll hear in meetings, people say your sponsor is not your friend, but in the pamphlet it says could be your friend.
Right.
The idea of being a sponsor is somebody to be able to be truthful. You have to call you on your stuff.
And how, how soon should somebody, so say somebody is getting involved with the 12 steps, how soon should they be looking for a sponsor? Is it?
Well, some meetings where you go to, or I know in the States, a lot of times if you say you're new, people come up, they give you a sponsor. I particularly don't think that's a great idea. The idea is usually it says look to somebody that you think you can confide in. Because if that you can't be honest with that person, because the whole thing of the program is to be honest, self-honesty with themselves and with other human beings.
And in your experience, George, would you say that people who are newly, say, sober or off drugs, are they usually good at picking sponsors?
I don't know if being good, I think the idea is it's...
You know what I mean? Is there a risk that they can sort of pick the wrong person?
Yes, there is. Because you could have somebody who talks real well and has never done the steps. And then you're in trouble. And they usually say what happens is, if you pick a sponsor, make sure that they have a sponsor so that they're actively doing the steps. Because if they're actively doing the steps, then how are they going to have you actively doing the steps?
And is that really then the only reason to have a sponsor is someone with the steps? Or is it not? Could someone sort of want to say a sponsor as a confidant or just someone to speak to? Or do you think it's just, if they're not teaching you.
Well, maybe if I give you a little history about steps.
Please.
Originally in AA, just anybody didn't come to AA. Matter of fact, they went and looked for people who they figured that were desperate, and usually most of them were low-bottom drunks, so they were desperate and stuff. That's what they looked for. And the idea of a sponsorship was somebody who knew somebody or went to a hospital and saw somebody, and then they would bring them into AA. And they usually would think that they were a good person to take through the steps, that they were willing to do it. Because the early time of AA was, in fact, it was experimental. There was nothing like this before.
And it sounds like then originally there may not have been as much choice involved.
No, actually, if you think Dr. Bob was a very, he was more of a religious type, if you want to say, and he was one who kind of basically did more of the God thing. Now, Bill was a little different. Bill was the East Coast and Dr. Bob was Midwest.
Mm.
So you have these two. But the whole idea was that when they came up to 12 steps of recovery, originally it was 6 steps. It was more like from the Oxford group. And then when AA pulled away from the Oxford group because it was more, they didn't want to be associated so much with the religious, because the reality is, what do you do with somebody who's an atheist or somebody who's maybe a Muslim or a Buddhist or something like that? What are you going to do? You're going to make them toe the line on the original thing? So that's, I don't know if that helps, but it's kind of a little bit of the history.
And so say if there's somebody, so you're sort of saying, you need to be... careful that the person you're choosing, isn't just talking the talk. How could you practically, so how could someone say that's new to the 12 steps, sort of practically, imagine that you're in their position. like, how can they really tell? Like, what are the signs that this person may be good for them?
Well, I think one good thing is, are they taking it to the book? Mm. They're taking it to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because it's laid out how the steps are done. It reads about how you do it, how to go about it. The whole idea is, it's something new. And most of us come out of, we're coming out of a fog. We've never been honest. We're in trouble. We might be in even denial about our drinking. And the idea is that you need somebody who's been there before to take you through. So, I mean, we make mistakes. I mean, it's, you learn. And usually what happens, I mean, I've sponsored guys where I fired them because they wouldn't do the work. I actually fired my first sponsor because he did something that, he's a good friend of mine, but I didn't like what he did. And I was like, I don't want that part of what you did. So, you know, it's...
So it's both, and it has to be... It's both a good fit both ways. And, I mean, should people wait then? Like, you know, so say, from what you're saying, you have to sort of get a good sense of that person, whether they're serious, whether they're actually, like, you know, doing the work. So, you know, say, you know, a new person, should they sort of hold back for a few weeks maybe and actually watch that person and...
Yeah, I think because when you're new, when you first come in, you don't even really understand what Alcoholics Anonymous is. You don't understand what you're doing. Most people come there with the idea of thinking that somehow, some way, A is going to teach you how to drink. You know? Mm. And that's not where you're at. So, like, when people come in, they're using it, you know, nobody comes in and they say, oh, I got 6 years, I haven't been drinking, and life's great. You know, usually you come in with a tail between all legs.
But it must be the case then, George, that if people are kind of, have got the right qualities as a sponsor, surely they must be in high demand.
I think so, yeah, because it's how you lay the groundwork. It's the foundation.
But also in the sense that, I mean, if you see a person is really good, would it not usually be that they'll have lots of sponsees already?
Some people do have a lot of sponsees. Some people can handle it. Some people think it's like, well, if you got 100 sponsees, how could you really...
Is there a limit on it? Is there meant to be a limit on it?
No, there's no official, you know, limit on how many sponsors. But the idea is, I think the best thing for to get back to conversation is there is a pamphlet. Questions, answer, not sponsorship. Tells you what a sponsor is and what a sponsor isn't. I think if anybody's new, it's good to have a home group. The idea of a home group is that one group is that group you go to every week. And usually as a home group, they call it a home group. And they're into taking somebody who's new and bringing them through AA because they want the group to survive. I think the best thing is, for me, if I could sponsor somebody and they become a good member of Alcoholics Anonymous or can take somebody else through the steps, then it makes the program a lot better for me. And really, it's really about, like, it's kind of like buying a house. What neighborhood do you want to live in?
Mm.
You know, what kind of friends do you want? And same thing, too. It's AA is part of my life. It is what it is.
There's probably a lot of people, you know, who are sort of, say, newly clean or newly sober, and they may have kind of very, you know, low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be quite anxious about asking, say, going to somebody, say, will you kind of be my sponsor? That person saying no. What would you say to them?
Well, I remember way back when I was asked the first guy to be my sponsor, I asked him, and I was like, well, maybe he might say no, you know, and then what do you do? But the reality is we have to learn that not everybody's going to say yes to us. So the reality is it's part of kind of, can you survive something like that?
So you just have to go and do it anyway.
Yes.
Sort of get over your reservations. And, you know, what you sort of said a lot about this already. And it seems to sort of, from what you said, it seems to sort of vary between, you know, the sponsor. Like you sort of said, you know, some people say you shouldn't be too friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have got a different interpretation. But, you know, as a sort of rule of thumb, and I know you sort of said the information is in the pamphlet, but as a rule of thumb, what should new people expect as a minimum from the sponsor? I mean, should we have contact so many times a week, say, and all of that sort of thing?
A lot of sponsors will say they'll give a testing period on somebody. What they'll do is they'll give them a fact. Okay, call me every day at this around this time. Okay? And then they see, are they willing to make that? Because if they're not willing to call you, then the reality is, do you really want to waste your time? Because the person's not ready, they're just not ready. So a lot of people, what they do is, now, a lot of people sponsor exactly when they were sponsored. Some people are hardcore, and they'll tell you, shut up, you don't know anything. I personally think, the book says, it's one alcoholic talking to another. It's supposed to never talk down to another alcoholic. So I think what is, you want somebody who's respectful. You want somebody who, you know, they've done the steps. You want somebody who is going to take you to the books. Going to, you know, when you have a question, going to refer you to the book. You know, that's how you know it. And the reality is, because it's a program of Alcoholics Anonymous, 12-step program. It's not George's.
But Joe, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they sort of say, you say, you know, you say to somebody, oh, you know, go in the book. They might go, well, why am I, what's your job then? You should keep on telling me to go to the book.
Well, the idea is, there are some groups, I went to a men's group where they will go word by word. So there's a sponsorship there. There's a new thing now. A lot of people, like, they sit down with somebody who's new, a sponsor. A lot of the men's groups do it. And they will go read the doctor's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And they will make sure that before they move on to Bill's story of the night, that that person understands what's the main points of the doctor's opinion that I give about. It's a twofold part of the disease, you know, the phenomenon of the craving, that we're allergic to alcohol and stuff. Then you move on, and then you read the stories. The stories are there because there's different people. We all have different ways. You know, some people are just hardcore drinkers. Some people are maybe, you know, they got a DUI. I knew one girl, the same one girl, she wasn't a drinker. She drank one night and she got into a car accident and the person died. She ended up going, she had to go to prison for 3 years. She probably was not an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
But she came to AA because the court said she had to come. And she had these friendships and fellowships, and she wasn't alone. And now she's, I think she's a firewoman up in the state she lives in.
Oh, yeah. So, George, you have to sort of go on to the other side of this. I mean, do you ever see this go wrong in regards to sponsorship?
Yes.
What can go wrong?
I've heard of people where sponsors, if you don't have a good sponsor, where they actually borrowed money off of sponsees.
Right.
Okay. This is not every. I remember, this is not well people's anonymous. Just because somebody.
It's not a professional code of conduct, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's the idea is that if I truly believe that if I'm not honest, and that if I don't do this the right way, then I'm in jeopardy of losing my sobriety. And I'm thinking, if I've been given this gift, which I believe is a gift, then the only way to keep it, like the book says, is to give it away.
Mm.
So I need to give it away. And why would I, you know, it's like kind of like if somebody was sick and they're bleeding. Would I just say, oh, you're going to be okay and let them bleed to death? Or would I pick them up, stop the bleeding, and take them to the ER? And the same way, too, I think, with the steps. There are people out there who, they say they know the steps. I'll be honest, the first guy I sponsored was 50 years old. He was a combat target, Marine photographer in Vietnam. I had not worked all the steps because I was a corpsman. He liked me, and he asked me to be a sponsor. And I was like, well. So I went and talked to a lot of the old timers who knew him. And they said, have at it, kid. We failed. You know, like, maybe you'll have luck. Now, I learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, I mean, I was 29 years old, and he was a 50-year-old guy, but we had that connection. You know, the idea was he trusted me, you know, and that's the key. Can I trust that person?
And that's exactly what I was going to ask you, George.
Okay.
So how trusting should a person be? Someone comes along and they said he asked someone to be their sponsor. How trusting should they be?
Well, you don't want that sponsor telling what you're doing to another group or another person.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And the whole idea is because when you get down to the fifth
step. Does that happen?
Yes, yes. And when you get down to the fifth step, which is when you share your inventory. I mean, there's things that we all have done that's embarrassing and stuff. We're looking at things. We don't want to broadcast it to the whole world. Especially, too, if somebody we've injured, we don't want to re-injure them. So we want somebody who's closed-mouthed, who's trustworthy, who, you know, is going to treat you with respect. Yeah, because the only idea, it is one alcoholic talking to another. Them talk. I always say this. Some people say, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. You don't know Jack, right? And I said, Dr. Bob went up to Bill, or Bill went up to Dr. Bob. I said, listen, just shut up and listen to me. Because I'm I said, do you think we'd be sitting here? AA would never have gotten started, but it was one alcoholic talking to another.
So would you sort of say then, George, that, yeah, you should be trusting, but also be cautious.
Yes. You want, as you go, I think the same thing too is, as a sponsor would put feelers out for a sponsee to see, like, give them, like, call me every day and see if they're willing to do it. Okay, I think the same way too is a sponsor should do the same thing too.
Does that happen? Like, is it a, would it be appropriate for someone to volunteer to be someone's sponsor?
That does happen. Sometimes you'll come into certain meetings, and they will assign you a sponsor.
Oh, you, yeah, you mentioned that before.
Some people do that. You know, usually what happens is, usually somebody, like, when you come to a meeting, okay, I'll give you the guy that I, a good friend of mine, Jim, I met him at his first meeting. He had been meetings before, but I met him at his meeting. And I just talked to him after the meeting. I got him a big book, and we hung out. We talked, and I'd see him for the first week, week and a half. Eventually, I end up sponsoring, you know, being the sponsor. And he always says it. He says, I met George, and because I have a long-term sobriety, I'm like, well, I have to look for people who are new. I have to be reminded, you know, because I could forget easily. You know, it's been a long, long time since I've even wanted to have a drink, you know. So I think, I just know for me, when I see somebody's new and they hear about sponsorship, I go and grab a pamphlet and I hand them a pamphlet.
And what's the name of that pamphlet
again?
It's
called Questions and Answers on Sponsorship.
And I suppose that'll be available online now as well, would it?
It could be. I'm not sure, but I know most meetings have it. And I think it's real good because it lays out there. It lays out what a sponsor is and sponsor isn't.
Just another couple of last questions, George. So one thing I was just thinking there as you were talking, I mean, can you outgrow your sponsor?
Yes, you can.
And that must be hard, isn't it? I mean, if you've got this close relationship to suddenly realize that you need someone else, does that happen?
Yes, it does. Because sometimes what happens is you get comfortable. You want somebody to take you through the steps, you get comfortable. And then maybe you grow apart. Or maybe they get busy with other sponsors. They have more sponsors and they can't give you the time that you have. Or maybe, you know, just those things do happen. I mean, we do grow. I mean, it's like sometimes, like I said, the sponsor has the right to, if somebody's not doing the steps, I'm not going to waste my time. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, maybe you need to find somebody else. And I've done that. My good friend I just was talking about, we're good friends now. My first sponsor, he's 35 years, I think just in January, turned 35 years sober. We're still good friends, you know. So, yeah. And I'm the only sponsor that he has. He never sponsored anybody else after me.
Is that a good or a bad thing, George?
This is the thing. If you want to talk about a sponsor, at 32 years later, I was sitting there with my friend Jim, and he was sitting there with the guy he sponsored, who's 73 years old, and then Mike, who was my sponsor, my first sponsor, was sitting in the same room. And then there was another guy that I just was sponsoring. So sitting in a meeting, seeing my first original sponsor, seeing a guy that I sponsor, and then he's sponsoring another guy, and then another guy sponsor. And I was like, this thing works.
So George, any last words on sponsorship that you'd like to share you think would be useful?
Welcome. If you come in, welcome to AA. It should be somebody who's welcoming you. It should be somebody who's pretty friendly, who speaks the truth, who shares, and it's good if they share something that you relate to. Because the whole idea is, it's not what, most people come to AA looking for the differences of way out. And we always say, look not for the differences, but how you can relate.
And would you say everything you're saying also applies to NA, would you?
To NA? Mm. Yes, I think the same thing. I think they basically use the 12 steps. Because the original guy who started NA was in AA.
So it's a similar thing, isn't
it? It's a similar thing. And almost every 12-step program is Al-Anon is the same thing. They have steps. And they have sponsors. Al-Anon has sponsors.
And actually, that's a good question. I mean, so say somebody's got, you know, some people have got multiple problems. They've got alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, how would they go about, should he pick an NA sponsor or an AA sponsor, or does it even matter?
No, I think it's important because if somebody has a sex addiction, mm-hmm. It's good to have somebody who's had a sex addiction to overcome it.
Oh, so you might need multiple sponsors for multiple problems.
You can. And then there's other programs. There's a Christian program called Celebrate Recovery, which if you're more towards a Christian type. And they diverse. It's not just like A is singleness of purpose.
That's brilliant, George. Thank you very much. And hopefully we'll do some more of these